This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Once again, we start with the mentioning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send His peace and His blessings upon His Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. Do you love Him more? You love Him more now? The more you know Him, the more you love Him, the more you are attached towards Him, the more you want to be like Him, the more you want to see Him in Jannah. So may Allah allow us to love Him more and more. That is one love that I guarantee you, it will never backfire. Never break your heart, inshallah. Loving the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, the believers are rejoiced in ways that people that could not imagine. We just beat the people of Quraysh, and the leaders and the elite, the significant ones, have pretty much died. So now, brothers and sisters, some believers, they got some money from the war game, some humble amount. And one of the believers who was being pushed to get married, was none other than Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali ibn Abi Talib was told by an auntie. Naam, it was a sister. She told him, "Why do you not get married? Do you not know that Fatima is now available to proceed with marriage?" He said, "I can't afford it. I'm broke." She said, "Why do you not attempt? Attempt, take a shot, take the means." He said, "But I'm not able to." Ali says, "The auntie kept pushing me. Go ahead and try. Kept talking to me about marriage. Propose to Fatima. Until I said, okay, I will." We want aunties like that, inshallah. Alright? May Allah allow us to be people that bring people married and a righteous, blessed marriage. Say ameen. May Allah make every single person here, I'll have a righteous spouse. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. So when Ali attempted, he said, "I went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. And only those who experience knows. No book will ever describe the emotion when you have to call your future father-in-law. Ammi, uncle, who's this? Wrong number. Right? What do you want? Sah? May Allah protect us and grant us wisdom. Ameen. So then, he goes to his possibly future father-in-law. He says, "Fajalast, I sat." So the Prophet asked him, "Alaka haja? Ali, you want something?" He says, "Fasakat." He said, "Ka'annani uljimt," as if there's something covering my mouth. I couldn't speak. Ali! Ali, the one who did this to Shayba Walid, the army of the disbelievers. Walid, Ali! Ali in the battlefield, but there's another battle. It's a whole different dimension. So he says, "Alaka haja?" Second time, do you need something, Ali? He says, "I couldn't speak." Third time, "Ali, you're okay. Ali, you want something?" "Fasakat, I couldn't speak." So the one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the most person who has emotional intelligence. Emotional what? Intelligence. Knows a man of his stature, so brave, so courageous, the only thing possible he's unable to talk about now is marriage to my daughter. So he tells him, "Did you come to propose to my daughter Fatima?" He says, "Naam. Naam wallahi ya Rasulullah." That's exactly why I'm here. So the Prophet knows the level of religiosity and the good character of Ali, correct? And Fatima knows that the Prophet is asking about the financial status of Ali. He says, "And can you afford getting married?" He says, "Wallahi, no. I cannot afford marriage." He says, "What about the body armor I gave you? I gave you dinner, a shield, remember?" He says, "Ya Rasulullah, the shield you gave me is worth 4 dirham. 4 dirham. Yani, barely anything. Roughly $10. Roughly." So he says, "I will approve the marriage and make this be the dowry." The dowry? The dowry of Fatima, the greatest Mishwa, the greatest woman to walk on earth, along with Maryam, the mother of Isa, along with Asiya, the wife of Pharaoh, along with her mother Khadija, the wife of Muhammad ﷺ. Yes, Fatima is one of the four women that reached perfection, and her dowry is something close to $10. Like, yeah, some of us may do that. And I do understand. Some people say, the dowry of my daughter, Habibi brother, all I want from my daughter, I don't want no dowry. We're not that type of family. He can give us a Quran and that's sufficient. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. But what's wrong is next. Just give us a Quran, but we want a $100,000 wedding, and she better be dropped off with a limo that has 17 wheels. Like, you know what I mean? They follow the sunnah with the dowry. Ya'ini, Allah Akbar, smart. Tactic, right? But after, besides the dowry, you need this and we need that. And wallahi, we think you go to this furniture store by them. La wallah, we go nowhere but Arjan. A'udhu billah. Anything else? La 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 la. Right? May Allah grant us wisdom. Say ameen. So let's see. The Prophet ﷺ, is he just going to be easy with the dowry or everything else? So Ali ibn Abi Talib gets so happy. He uses that dir' shield and he sells it, gets the money. One narration suggests he sold it to Uthman bin Affan and it was for 400 dirham. So now we bumped up the number to about 700, roughly, $700. So if it is 700, so that means the actual thing was $7, not even 10. Alright? About 700 roughly. And Uthman, one narration suggests that he says, you need the shield more than me, so keep the shield and here's the money. Right? So then what happens? Ali is very excited. And now the Prophet is putting together jihaz, like the preparation for whom? For his daughter, Fatima radiallahu anha. And with that, brothers and sisters, the dowry, they get married, Ali and Fatima, alhamdulillah, a blessed marriage. And I know you guys liked it last time, we'll do it once more. And here you go. Alright? There you go with that heart. May Allah beautify our marriages. Ameen. The brother, and you paused, you didn't tell us what was, like, you know, the things that the Prophet ﷺ has put together for the family. I mean, what's their house like? We'll tell you. An authentic narration. The Prophet ﷺ assisted with getting Fatima the following. Had al-jihaz. Number one, a pillow. Number two, a dress. Number three, a jug of water. That's what they had in their house. What? I'm not telling you go get a jug of water to your father-in-law. Ammi, sunnah. Allah barik fi. Don't make it difficult. Oh, you think you're better? No, be being realistic. These times, they can survive. I don't think you can survive maybe very much here with that. Be like, bro, wallah, we take this when we go camping, when we travel. What? We take this when we travel. And what are you in this world but a traveler? Yes or no? What are you in this world but a traveler? I know every single brother is celebrating. Nah? And wallahi, I'm not exaggerating if I say even the sisters will celebrate. How many? And this is a very, very sensitive topic. Touch on it a bit. May Allah grant us wisdom. How many sisters would love to get married, but their parents choked them to death? Yes or no? How many times the woman, and I had cases personally involved, and the brother, wallahi, would to cry. The girl would to cry. Wonderful man and woman. Very compatible. And we understand, inshallah, with compatibility. But the reason the man was rejected, one of the stories I was involved in. Why? Because his skin was dark. Wallahi, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with a black marrying white. No, no. There's nothing wrong with that. But to show you how extreme, he was not a black person. He was just a darker shade than her family. Shuf, is that something to go meet Allah with? Is that something you'll be proud of? Wallahi, I will not be surprised. If the first one to stand in the face of such father and mother, the daughter herself. Yes or no? First one to question them. Because he said, let him get married first. What will the people say? Why? If the rizq provision comes, alhamdulillah. You're going to allow people's talk to destroy your children? You're that obsessed about your reputation? May Allah grant us wisdom. May Allah allow us how to prioritize things, brothers and sisters. A nasiha for the parents and the sisters from the Prophet of Allah. You want it? Fathers, mothers, and sisters. The Prophet ﷺ said, when a man comes to you, whom you approve of, and is well content with their level of religiosity, the deen, and their level of character, akhlaq, if you see someone coming to your daughter for proposal, and obviously is capable of getting married, then don't turn him down. Don't turn him down. He says, if you turn him down, then corruption will spread on earth. And wallahi, corruption spread, yes or no? And wallahi, it spread. That now doing the haram is 10 times easier than the halal, yes or no? When in reality, it's the complete opposite. It became so bad. Starts maybe from the parents, starts from the children, comes from both angles, enemy attacking every generation, where the men are no longer interested, and the women are no longer interested, yes or no? It's a disaster. All for whom? Wallahi, the enemy has a role, and the biggest of all enemies is shaitan that we're not paying attention to. Say, a'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. For all that which is happening. As for the brothers, we spoke to the sisters, we spoke to the parents, we speak to the brothers. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'll end with this inshallah. He said, a woman is typically married to, for one of four reasons, or for these reasons. Number one, men marry women. Bay and sisters, pay attention, take notes. The Prophet ﷺ says, men marry women based on their level of beauty. And others get married to women based on their money. And others get married to their spouses or have this lady based on her status and fame in society, to make it all right. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, and then others who get married to the sister based on religiosity. So he says, فَاثْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَكْ. So he says, be sure the one you married to has the religiosity in her. If you get the beauty, alhamdulillah, the status, Allahu Akbar, the money, Allahumma barik. May Allah grant you one with all four. Shuf the ameen, why is it weak like that? Wallahi, shuf, the hope is gone. Ah, inshallah. Right? La ya akhi, be like Ali. He was quiet, but saying, be like him in deen and religiosity. Try, right? But may Allah basically give you one with religiosity. Above all of that, besides beauty, wealth, and status, you know what the Prophet said? What did he say? He said, if you do not take the one with religiosity, you will be humiliated. And wallahi, he said the truth. You see, I give examples and stuff like that. Basically what the Prophet said, khalas, not the example. He said, you choose someone, and you are a person of religion, and you understand, mashallah, kada. And then you go for someone that has this and that, and you forgot the deen, and she has no deen, stuff. The Prophet says, you will be humiliated. So what be watchful. May Allah forgive us and grant us wisdom. May Allah grant you all our blessed marriage. Say ameen. Ali, Abi Talib, and Fatima get married. Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters, however, in the midst of this beautiful news, something is occurring. What happened? News of revenge have arrived. What? People of Quraysh are assembling an army to finish the Muslims. Why? They're very angry for the results of Badr. Who is leading the army? Abu Sufyan, the one from the trade caravan. Remember? How big is the army? 3,000 soldiers, 200 horses, 700 armored men, head to toe, steel armor. One of them is Abu Dhat al-Karsh, that's his name. Fully equipped, head to toe. All what you can see of him are his eyes. Completely armored, 700 of them. How can you shoot such guy? What strike will hit this guy? Remember, you take the means, you trust, and Allah will make you. That's it, that's the equation of life. May Allah allow us to establish it as easy the way as we said it. Ameen. So brothers and sisters, but this time there's an addition to the army, a military genius, Khalid bin al-Walid, but that too doesn't matter, because Allah's with us. Yes? But this time he joined, and people are very pumped from his team that he's with them. The Prophet ﷺ receives the news, we are about to get attacked. Where are they coming, Quraysh? Where do they want to go? They want to go right to the city. They're headed to Medina. So now the Prophet ﷺ seeks counsel, just like how he did in Badr. Now he's doing it in this battle. So he tells the companions, what do you guys think we should do? This time the Prophet ﷺ gives his thoughts. You want to know what his thoughts are? He said, my thoughts, my suggestion, the thoughts, is that we stay in Medina. Let them come to our streets. And we will be ready for to fight them. Some scholars, they said, why would the Prophet propose that? Because the army of the enemy is incredibly large. 3,000. Right? And then coming to the alleys makes it like a bottleneck. So whoever comes, you gotta have to go through this alley, so it'll only be like equal. 3-on-3, 5-on-5. Also, we know the streets better than them. Also, the men and the women will participate from their homes, windows, roof. Everybody will take a play in this, right? Take action. The companions, some of them said, "Oh, Prophet of Allah," and they heard the suggestion. But as to us, no, we want to go out. We want to go and fight them outside Medina. You know, this. No one ever came to Medina when we were non-Muslim. Now that we're Muslim, we allow them to come to our homes and land? No way. That's their suggestion. So the Prophet ﷺ said, and we will go with your suggestion. What do you think that level of empowerment did? Yes? And many of them were actually on the younger side. And you know why they're very excited? Not just because they're young, but some of them, what? They missed participating in Badr. Remember, let me go get my stuff. And the Prophet said, no, we have to go right now. They're like, no, I want to go all out. So brothers and sisters, with this being said, the Prophet ﷺ went to his house to wear the body armor. While he was wearing it, the companions were rebuking one another. Why did you do that? The Prophet ﷺ clearly said he prefers staying here. Yes, he opened the floor for suggestion, does not mean you have to speak. He clearly feels it's better to stay in the Medina. So he said, Wallah, you're right. So then they all waited. The moment the Prophet left the house, he's wearing the body armor. He said, oh Prophet of Allah, we thought about it, and I think actually your suggestion is better. We'll stay in the city. The Prophet told them, it's not befitting for a Prophet to wear the body armor and then take it off unless he fights first. What is this? Being decisive. We prayed to Allah. I took suggestions. We made a decision. That's it. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَّهُ. We did everything we can. We prayed to Allah, got suggestions. It's over. We're not going to keep changing minds. Actually, no, that's it. We made the decision. خلاص, let's proceed, inshallah. Allah's promise is always there. So brothers and sisters, in Quraysh, in Mecca, some bribery is taking place. What is this? Give you an example. Jubair bin Mut'im, his relative, was killed in Badr. Jubair bin Mut'im has a slave. His name is Wahshi. Wahshi is amazing at throwing spears. He hits the target, he nails it. So Jubair tells his slave, Wahshi, if all what I want you to do is kill Hamza. What? Kill Hamza. That's all what I want you to do. Why? Hamza is the one who killed Jubair's relative. So what will Wahshi get? The greatest reward any slave at that time can ever get, which is what? Freedom. I get freedom? Without paying anything? Just do this? He said, that's all what you do. And Wahshi accepts all what you want. If you kill Hamza, then you are free. Brothers and sisters, the believers, they head towards what? Mountain Uhud. And this is a very simple diagram, not identical. So when they went to Uhud, the Prophet ﷺ arrives first. He assigns, how big is the Muslim army roughly? Roughly, by the time they arrived, they were about 700. So the disbelievers are close to 5 times more, over 4 times more, right? So the Prophet arrives first, we take the means. He assigns 50 archers from the believers, 50 on this hill right here across from the mountain of Uhud. The Prophet is very clear. You have one mission and only one mission. You stand on this hill, and what you need to do is protect our back. So the believers will be here and the enemy will be on the other side. So all what you need to do on this hill, if any of the disbelievers tries to go behind the hill and approach us from the back, you shoot him with the arrow. Nice, simple target. No one from the enemy will dare to come to us from the back. Otherwise, it will be chaotic. We will be what? Clamped. Okay? Okay. The Prophet ﷺ, look what he says. You stay on the hill. And he gives them two scenarios. He says, you stay there no matter what happens. Even if all the believers die, everyone is dead, and the animals came to eat our body, do not leave the hill until I send you a note, come down. I think the instructions are very clear. And he said, and if you find us all victorious, and all the enemy has ran back to Mecca, and we all won, Do not come down until what? I send you a note and tell you. Listen, Jubair, Abdullah bin Jubair, one of the team leaders at that time, he heard that, everybody heard that, fantastic. Brothers and sisters, the battle of Uhud starts with a duel, one on one. Alhamdulillah, the believer manages, as the enemy comes at such great numbers, manages to kill that disbeliever from the enemy. And right then and there, the battle of Uhud starts. Right there, brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before the enemy eventually approaches, he grabs the sword. He says, who will take this sword and fulfill its right? Motivation. Remember how motivation comes. Who will take this sword, fulfill its right? They said, what's the right of the sword? Is to kill the enemy with it until it pretty much breaks.
So Abu Dujana said,
I will take it. He takes that sword, wraps a red bandana on his head, meaning I will fight till death. We take a lesson. You are being told, who will take this task? Who will give adhan? Who will set up the seat? You go and you volunteer for the good deeds, inshallah, are there. You see, we learn to be proactive. We learn to assess if I'm capable or not. He asked, what's the task? You see that? What's the right of it? Didn't just rush. The right of it is to do 1, 2, and 3. I'm capable of doing so. Pass it on to me. If you're able to help in an organization, remember the da'wah field, you need to go and assist to your best of ability. May Allah grant us proper decision making. Ameen Rabbil Alameen.
So Abu Dujana takes it.
He puts that bandana, right? And they start and the fight takes place. The archers are there. And the enemy sees the archers on the hill. Ah, they got us. They came here before us. What a smart plan Muhammad did and his team, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So no enemy tried to attempt from the back. And the believers fought a fight. Allahu Akbar. They fought so much so, brothers and sisters. Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib is fighting. And Hamza is saying, Ana Asadullah. Hamza had two swords. He said, Ana Asadullah wa Asadu Rasulillah. I am the lion of Allah and the lion of the Prophet of Allah. And fighting the enemy. And he was breaking their ranks and shaking them. Who else was there? Ali ibn Abi Talib. Who else was there?
Abu Dujana.
The one who took the sword, the red bandana. He fought so much, he fought so well, that he almost reached the end of the army. So imagine this is the battle. He fought and fought, whoever, no one is standing in front of him. The sword is being bent pretty much, killing the enemy until he went to the end and now has to go back. Shuf, when he reached the end, he saw someone really hyping up the enemy. And he saw how influential that person was. And he said, if I able to kill that individual, that will tone down the hype and motivation. He grabs a sword, and that person turns. Who is it? It's a woman. It's a lady. So he paused, and he went away. The companion says, why did you kill the lady? Why did you kill the lady? He said, I will never dishonor the sword of the Prophet and kill a woman with it. Shuf. This is your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do we learn this? How do we learn this? If
Abu Dujana
did not hit a woman in battle, why would we have some husbands hitting their women at home? Yes or no? What justification do we have when we hear stories? When we see some woman bruised? Yes or no? If he did not kill a woman in the battlefield, learn be a man like
Abu Dujana
and honor the Prophet of Allah and take care of your Islam and don't you ever physically abuse a woman. May Allah grant us wisdom, Ya Rabbil Alameen.
So Abu Dujana
goes back and he fights and they're doing a phenomenal job. The disbelievers are starting to go away and turn back. Brothers and sisters, but there's Wahshi. Wahshi, he said, I hid behind Iraq. Looking at this Hamza guy. Now I see why he wants him killed. Now I see how he killed Jubair's brother or relative. So he said, I'm looking for Hamza. And I'm trying to shake my spear looking at him. But he's out of this world. Fighting this person, two swords. I'm unable to aim. He's so good at what he does. Killing the enemy. And I'm so nervous and scared. So he says, eventually I was able to see Hamza, and I think I'm able to throw the spear. I looked at him, I shook my spear once, twice. Hamza's fighting, and then he releases the spear. He says, it came, hit his stomach, came from the back. And then Hamza al-Muttalib is shocked. Where did this come from? So he's looking around, and he has eye contact with Wahshi. Wahshi said, then Hamza walked to me. He's walking to Wahshi. He's walking to Wahshi. And then Wahshi says he could no longer handle it. And then he dies. And wallahi, what hurts me is death. But what hurts me is how much the Prophet cried over his death. So then Hamza fell on the ground. And he passed away. And Wahshi left the battle, because that's what he wants, is his freedom. Brothers and sisters, and the battle of Uhud, pretty much the believers were victorious. Yes, it's sad, but the believers eventually were able to overcome the enemy. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ إِذْ تَحُسُّونَهُمْ بِإِذْنِهِ. Allah says, I fulfilled my promise. 700, barely have anything. See how you're beating the enemy. Brothers and sisters, Khalid al-Walid is about to leave the army or around the area. So sad. How is it possible? And this happens to me, that we run away from such people. How is it possible? He's walking and walking. And I want you just to imagine looking at the archers, and the archers are arguing. What's going on? The archers are saying to the other archers on that hill, listen, we won. We won. Look at this. We got this. We beat them again. Let's go get the war gains. Let's go down and pick up all the war gains. Abdullah bin Jubair said, what is wrong with you? Do you not remember what the Prophet ﷺ told you? Never come down until I send you a note. They said, wallahi, we're going down. And they went downhill, and they went downhill. Literally and technically. Basically, fashiltum. Allah says, then you failed. Wallahi, the moment they went down, they failed. Even if they won the battle. The moment they disobeyed the Prophet's command, no success. The moment we do that intentionally, and Allah says, minkum man yuridu dunya. Allah said about these companions that went down, you want dunya. You did not want akhirah. You were fighting for the war games. You were fighting for the money. That said to the Sahaba, then what about you and I? May Allah grant us sincerity. Say ameen. They want dunya. Brothers and sisters, that is why the fight of the desire is a lot more difficult than the fight in the battle. Because you will not win a battle in the field until you beat the evil of yourself. If they were able to conquer their desires and love of dunya, they will win this. So don't you ever wish to be there when you cannot defeat the evil of yourself. May Allah grant us wisdom. So with that being said, Khalid Walid, oh, what's happening? This is it. Khalid, genius, looks at the believers coming down. You know what I want you to feel? How did the believers feel when they saw them coming down? What are you doing, right? What is this? When the Prophet ﷺ would perhaps saw them coming down, Khalid looks at the hill, he grabs a small group of people with their horses, and now they went down. Khalid comes from behind the hill. Khalid goes. Some say he killed whoever remained there. Khalid continues. Khalid comes from the back. Calls people, come back. And what happens? They come back. And they clamped the believers. Panic upon panic. Distress and anxiety. See these words? One of the root causes, disobedience to Allah. One of the possible root causes is disobedience to Allah and His Messenger. When this happens, the Muslims now looking this way, that way, to the extent the chaos was so bad that one of the believers killed another believer. No. Yaman, a Muslim, his name is in Yaman. The believers came to attack him. Hudhayfa, his son, he said, Hada Abi, that's my dad. Stop it. And they killed his dad. That's the level of panic. Sahaba. The greatest generation, may Allah be pleased by all of them. You have to have respect to Sahaba. You have to have adab. Watch what you say. Stay within your limit and how you talk to the greatest generation that has walked the face of this planet. But they too are not perfect. So Rasulullah ﷺ, seeing this, they're fighting. Enemy is looking. killing whoever they can. Ah, Mus'ab bin Umair, the flag bearer of the believers, the one who holds the flag for motivation. If the flag is up, they will keep going. We're winning. They went and attacked Mus'ab, and Mus'ab bin Umair dies. They went and they attacked other companions and they died. May Allah grant us all Jannah and allow us to see them. Brothers and sisters, the enemy is coming from all over and they're now circling people, dividing the Muslims into smaller groups until the Prophet can no longer be seen by the believers. Rasulullah is there. They cannot go. There's so many enemy. Until he was no longer seen. Where did he go? It was announced by the enemy. Qutila Muhammad. Muhammad has died. We killed him. What? Muhammad died. The battle is over. That's it. That's their ultimate goal. Muhammad qutil. Believers, three groups. One group fled back to Medina. La ilaha illallah. It's a mistake. Another group fell to the ground. A third group, a minority of a minority, continued fighting the enemy, such as Anas bin Nadr. Anas bin Nadr, he told the Prophet before the battle, I was so sad I did not participate in the previous one, Badr. But I will show you, O Prophet of Allah, and I will show Allah the next battle that comes what I will do. And that battle came, show us Anas, what will you do? Anas, he looked at the archers coming down, looked at the chaos. He says, O Allah, I'm sorry for what the believers have done. And Ya Allah, I am free of what the enemy is doing. And he went and head on to the enemy. When he was going, some of the believers were what, going, fleeing away. Who was amongst them? A great companion. Yes, could not do what Anas did. That's what he said. Who was it? Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. He was going back. Anas said, Ya Sa'd, where are you going? Jannah is this way, not that way. Al-Jannah huna. He says, Wallahi, I smell Jannah right next to Uhud. Sa'd, what are you doing? He says, the Prophet, one narration says, the Prophet died. He said, then let us die upon what he died upon. What, run away? So Sa'd said, فَلَمْ أَسْتَطِعْ, I could not do what he does. So Sa'd left, Anas went forward. What happened to Anas? No one really knows at this point. Brothers and sisters, and they fought, and they were so worried. But where's Rasulullah? Where is the Prophet ﷺ? The Prophet was still fighting. The Prophet, wallahi, never retreats in a way that he escapes, that he is scared, that he's a coward. A'udhu billah. He fought and fought and fought. And I want you to imagine, about 3,000 soldiers. I'm not exaggerating. Every sword, every arrow is being targeted towards who? Muhammad ﷺ. Everyone wants his head. Because the news came, he's actually still alive. So they all went towards him. And they beat him up so bad. One grabs the sword and the weapon and strikes the Prophet ﷺ's face. It becomes so close that it cut his face. But not in a way that it completely goes in. But it cut his face and he started to bleed. Opened his head. And someone else strikes the Prophet ﷺ until they broke his teeth. Authentic narrations. And he was bloodied and bloodied and bloodied. And he's fighting, getting very weak at this point. Putting his hand and seeing the blood. What will he do? Pray against them? Yalla, do something. Dua, dua. Hit him with a dua. Destroy them. He prays to Allah. As he, ya Rabb, what do you want? اغفر لقومي فإنهم لا يعلمون. Oh Allah, guide these people so they can be forgiven. Hey, what? I don't know. Wallahi, I don't know what to tell. I'm going to try to be a poetic. I can't. Wallahi, I can't. I try. Okay, what do I follow up this with? Okay, then I say disappointed. I can't. It's unreal. How the guy is coming to kill him. No. The guy is in the process of killing him. He's bleeding almost to death. Breaking his teeth. Cutting his skull. Cutting it. And says, oh Allah, guide them so they can be forgiven. We take it to today. I know it's a very elite, high level. I do understand. But let's aim for highness. Yes or no? Aim for such level. In this period, such ignorance. Ya Allah, guide them. Yes, if you're oppressed, you have the right to make dua. I understand that. It's deen. But there is the elite of the elite. I'm not saying you're lowly. A'udhu billah. But there is above. فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ. Continue. فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. The ones who are able to reconcile, work things out, spread peace, reward. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ says. And this also combines, oh Allah, forgive the archers who went down. You see that love he has to the believers. This forgiveness dua includes the archers who went down, and they were the means of why this is happening. Brothers and sisters, and he fought. And who was with the Prophet? 12 companions, may Allah grant them all Jannah. Brothers and sisters, they tried to help the Prophet, until they were able to go retreat in such a way, and more Muslims came. Why? Because now they know that the Prophet is alive. As they came and they approached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, brothers and sisters, they were able to escape, and there's Talha doing a phenomenal job, and they go all the way up to the mountain in Uhud, one part of the mountain Uhud. As they arrived, the battle cooled down, things settled, the believers are now far away, and who comes very arrogantly and proud? Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan comes to an elevated place. The war has settled. And he is asking, he cannot see what's happening. He says, is Muhammad amongst you? He wants to know, Muhammad is alive or dead? The Prophet says, لا تجيبو مجابو. Don't answer this guy. Don't answer him. So Abu Sufyan knows, the second in leadership, this is authentic narration. He says, أفيكم أبو بكر? Is Abu Bakr there? Abu Bakr is there, but the Prophet says, do not answer him. أفيكم عمر? Even the enemy knows the rules. Is Umar there? The Prophet says, do not answer. Can you imagine Umar being able to hold himself? And he obeyed. Then Abu Sufyan says, we did it. These three people are dead. Otherwise they would have spoken. Now this is victory. Umar, no way. No way. He says, لَعَنَكَ اللَّهِ يَا عَدُوَ اللَّهِ. Oh, you enemy of Allah. All three are alive. All three are alive. And they will humiliate you, inshallah. يَا عَدُوَ اللَّهِ. He didn't say, لَعَنَكَ اللَّهِ. He said, يَا عَدُوَ اللَّهِ. So Abu Sufyan got so angry. Abu Sufyan said, أُعْلُ هُبَل. What? Hubal is an idol. So he says, Hubal is the exalted. Our idol is the exalted. The Prophet said, answer him. What? Not what? What just changed? Answer him. You know why? Because now it has to do with the deen. Before it had to do with personal interest. It was taken personal. The Prophet doesn't care. I don't take it personal. Right? You hurt me. I tried to do this and do that. Whatever the case is. Not in terms of being oppressed. But try. How? Nah. Personal. Move on. You want me to go on YouTube and answer every comment that someone says you're a munafiq, you're a loser. Khalas, just move on. Right? People talk trash when I address everyone. Right? But when it comes to the deen, try to do something. You see the difference? When it comes to an attack against Allah's messenger, try to do something. They draw a cartoon about the Prophet. They do something like that. You don't fight back physically. A'udhu billah. Wallahi, the Prophet would not approve of it. I swear by Allah. He will not approve of it. Here in this part of the world, will not approve of it. What do you do? Maybe, as an example, teach the seerah. Teach the life of the Prophet. Do something to contribute. Improve the image of the Muslims. That's what you can do. Now answer back. If someone makes fun of your nose or your eyes or your heart, okay, whatever. Makes fun of the deen, that means I need to work on my deen. Maybe I'm slacking off here and there. When it comes to the deen, may Allah grant us strength. Say ameen. So the Prophet says, answer him. What do we say? Tell him, Allahu a'la wa ajal. They said, Allah is the more exalted and majestic. Allah is the elevated. See, Abu Sufyan knows the believers there are, the Prophet is there. So then the Prophet ﷺ, he hears Abu Sufyan, what did he say? Lana Uzza, wala Uzza lakum. We have another idol, his name is Uzza, we have Uzza. You do not have Uzza, you don't have a god like that. So the Prophet said, Ajibu, answer him now, because it's deen. So they said, what do we say, Ya Rasulullah? What do we say? He said, tell them, Allahu Mawlana, wala Mawla lakum. Tell him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our helper, and you have no helper. And they said that. Then Abu Sufyan said, listen you guys, we beat you today to make up for what? Badr. Right? And that's how war is. And just an FYI, as you walk around the battlefield, you will see believers that are cut into pieces. I don't approve of this. I never told them to do that. So he said, this is wrong. But I'm not feeling sorry about it. So then Abu Sufyan left, happy. The Prophet ﷺ, he comes down
and he checks on the Muslims, and 70 bodies were laid on the ground dead. One of the bodies was not recognized at all. At all, zero. No facial expressions. How bad is it? Nothing. People, do you know his? I don't know. Do you know his brother? I have no idea. Who is it? I have no clue. Until one sister came, saved the day. She said, "That's my brother." Who was that brother? It was Anas ibn al-Nadr. The one who said, "Jannah is there," and he died right next to the mountain where he said, "I smell Jannah over there." Shuf. When Allah says, "Min al-mu'mineen rijal," Allah said, some of the believers, Allah, Allah is beautiful. He says, some of the believers are true men. صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه. They fulfilled the promise that they made. Can we be real men and women, inshallah? Fulfill our promises that we make to Allah? Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, the Prophet looks at this situation. A lot of things happened. Then he says, أنا شهيد على هؤلاء. He's devastated. He says, I'm a witness to over all these people, that I'll help them out basically on the day of judgment. Then he says, Allah basically revealed to him that the dead amongst the Uhud people, their souls are in green birds in Jannah. And they're roaming around in paradise, enjoying its rivers, eating its fruits, and their nest is attached to Allah's throne. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet said, they're alive. And the Prophet said, they are saying now in Jannah, what? Oh Allah, who can tell our brothers and sisters in dunya about what we're enjoying here in Akhirah, in the afterlife? So Allah says, I will tell them. So Allah reveals Quran. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ فَرِحِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهِ. Happy. Allah says they're not dead. They're enjoying their time. I would not want to say the battle and make it end on that note. So I made sure we talk about Jannah, because there's Akhirah. You feel bad for Hamza, you should feel bad for yourself. I feel bad for myself. Hamza's there having fun. Hamza is one of them there in Jannah. Allahu Akbar, he made it. And the companion, they said, Ya Allah, we want them to know so they never stop struggling for the sake of Allah. And if it was jihad, so they never stop attempting it. Allahu Akbar. So struggle in da'wah, struggle in jihad. Brothers and sisters, why do we say their stories? These are our veterans, right? Our soldiers, right? We take pride. We look at our past that is bright, and we pray to Allah to grant us a present that is bright. Because there's no future to a nation that does not know about its bright past. Are you guys with me? So we talk about these things and we are proud of it. May Allah grant us wisdom. What it took for this message to come to you, telling you, struggle, it's worth it. We say that in dunya. You do your MCATs, PCATs, it's worth it. Met your physician, the payment. You do engineering, it's worth it. We say that in this dunya. I'm not saying it's haram. But the shuhada in Jannah are saying to us, through Allah, it is worth it. Obey Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters, then the believers were eventually buried, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returns back to Medina. And brothers and sisters, as they arrived to Medina, Ali and Fatima tried to treat the Prophet's bleeding. Whatever they do, it's always gushing. Eventually Fatima, may Allah be pleased with her, finds a way to put like a band-aid or so to stop the bleeding. One sister, she was told, your father died in the battle. From Medina, one of the Ansar. And they told her, your husband died and your father, husband, brother. She is concerned about one person. She said to the man, to the team that came to tell the believers who died, what happened to the Prophet? They said, he's doing good, he's doing fine. She said, no. I don't take speech like that. I need to see the Prophet that he's fine. So then they show her the Prophet. He's right there. And the Prophet, you can imagine him so much in pain, but he's alive. She looks at him. Then she says, كُلُّ مُصِيبَةٍ بَعْدَكَ جَلَلٍ. Losing anything in the world is something I can bear, but I cannot bear or hold myself had I lose you. Allahu Akbar. Love towards Rasulullah. The last slide that we have, The enemy wants another battle now. Ya akhi, come on. Are you serious? Yes, Abu Sufyan is angry. Abu Sufyan is frustrated. Was he not happy, victorious? No, he's angry. He's going back to Mecca. He's like, we're a bunch of losers. You guys are horrible. What was this? What's wrong with you, Abu Sufyan? He said, Muhammad is alive. Muhammad is still alive. We did not win. See how I told you all targets is on him? So Abu Sufyan says, we're going to go back. Now, bust a U-turn back. You go back. What happens? The believers hear the news, the army is coming. The command from Allah and the messenger is what? Go fight them. What do you mean? The injuries, the blood, the prop. Go fight them. Are we going to disobey now? Did we not learn the lesson? The means are meaningless. But they are the prerequisite to get Allah's what? Victory and help. Yes? What did the believers do? Three parts to that last slide. Number one, Allah says, الَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْقَرْحِ. Every single believer obeyed Allah and His Messenger. Not one was left behind. Wallahi, there are narrations that say, one of them was so injured, he was carried to the battle. Because we know, it's not about the means, it's about Allah, it's about what can I do. Allah, dars, wallahi, lesson. Then they took the means. Is that enough? What's next? What's this plus what? Plus what? There's an equation. This plus this gives you victory anytime in the calendar, anytime in any location in the world. They said, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Our trust is in Allah. Our trust is in Allah, not in the means. My heart is not attached to the means. I'm going to do everything I can. But in my heart, only Allah can give victory. When you put this plus this, wallahi, it will always equal this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them victory. How? When the Abu Sufyan, he heard the Muslims are coming back. This is unreal, right? Imagine Abu Sufyan, like, what are these people? They're actually leaving the city, coming to attack us. Abu Sufyan got scared. This was Hamra al-Asad battle. And he returned back to Mecca. And who won the battle? The believers. What did Allah say? فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةِ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلِ لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ. They were not even touched and they won. You see that? They won the battle and no one was touched. لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوء. What was the equation? Take the means, trust Allah, and Allah will be victorious. As beautiful as it sounds, the outcome of the Battle of Uhud was rough. The enemy that were worried about the Muslims after Badr, now are no longer worried. There are people in Medina, and pagans around Medina are now stronger and bold enough to plot against the Prophet. What will the Prophet ﷺ do against these plots? What's the next plan? What will happen to the believers? How will the Prophet address this chaos? All of that, inshallah, on September 7th. February 7th, inshallah. And we have some announcements. 7th, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.